So this maimah, this discourse, is for Parshas Vayera, and it was said in 1964, 5725. And it has been printed in Likutei Sichot, volume 5. And here it's been extracted by the Dvar Malchus people as a maimah. And it goes on the Haftorah. So let's have a look at the Haftorah for Vayera. V'isha achat, a certain woman, one woman, minishei v'nei hanaviyim, of the wives of the, literally the children of the prophets, or the fellowship of the prophets. So her husband was a prophet in the time of Elisha, and he was like part of the group of would-be prophets, and or of this sort of prophetic fellowship, like a group of Hasidim, you could say. And she, Tzaka El Elisha, she cried out to Elisha. She came to Elisha crying. Lemo, she said, Avdecha ishi met, your servant, my husband, has passed away. Va'ata yadata, you know, ki avdecha haya yareet Hashem, that your servant, my husband, was very God-fearing, but he was also poor. Va'hanosheba, and the creditor has come, because we're heavily in debt. He wants to take my two sons as slaves because I can't afford to pay the debt. Elisha said to her, what can I do for you? Hagidili, tell me. What have you got at home? And she said, I've got nothing at home. Kim asuch shemen. The only thing I've got is one flask of oil. Vayomer, and Elisha said, Lechi, go shalilach kelim minachutz. Go and borrow vessels from outside. Me'ez kol shchinaich, from all your neighbors. Kelim reikim, empty vessels. Al tamiti, don't begrudge yourself. Borrow lots and lots of vessels. Uvat v'sagat hadelet, and you should come and close the door. Ba'adeichu ba'ad benaich, just you and your two sons indoors. V'yatzakt al kol hakelim ha'ele, and you should pour oil into all the vessels that you borrowed. V'hamale tasi, and when one is full, move it aside and get another one. So that's what she did. She went away. She closed the door on her and her children. They were handing him the empty bowls. And she was pouring. And when she managed to fill up the vessels, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. Vayomale, and he said to her, Einot keli, they're no more. They're finished. They're all filled with oil. Vayamod ha-shaman. And the oil stopped pouring. Vatavo vatageid le'isha le'elokim. She came to tell Elisha. Vayomale, and he said, Lechi michri et ha-shaman. He said, go sell the oil. V'shalmi et nishyech, pay the creditor. Va'atu v'nayich, and you and your children, tichyi banota, you will live on what is left. So in other words, there was enough to pay the creditor and enough to give them a good sum of money for the future, so they weren't going to starve anymore.
So the oil price wasn't going up and down too much. Question, why is it? Unless it's a mistake on the first page. It says, Mayesh Lachi.
Yeah, that's what's called pre and ktiv.
Which means?
Pre and ktiv means that it's written one way in the actual text, but we read it a different way.
Oh, so it's written like that in the text,
Yeah.
But you said lach, so understood that.
Yeah, so let me just see. In the margin, you can see
it says
lach.
Yeah.
Kri. Yeah. The kuf stands for kri.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and then in fact there are a few. There's shchenayich, motzeket. Each of those words is like motzeket, for example, is spelt with a yud, which doesn't make sense. So it's motzeket. It's read as if it were motzeket with a vav. Now that introduces. That comes before this. pardon me. The story of the woman who makes a place, a room for Elisha, and whenever he comes by, he stays in that room, and he's very happy, they put him up, and it turns out she doesn't have any children, and he gives her a blessing to have a son, and she has a son, and then the son gets sunstroke in the hot day, and Elisha comes and he dies, and Elisha comes and brings him back to life. So that's the Haftorah.
It's a different woman.
A different woman. Yeah, a different woman.
Yeah.
A different woman. The same Elisha. Mm. It's part of the cycle of stories about Elisha, but the woman is different. So one of the questions asked in the discourse, in the Maimah at the end, is why do we have the beginning part that I've just read to you, all about the woman and the oil? Mm-hmm. What's that got to do with the Sedra? You can understand the other woman who didn't have a baby, and Elisha gives her a blessing that she should have a son, and she has a son. You can see how that is a reflection of Sedra Vayera, where the angels tell Sarah she's going to have a baby. But how exactly does the first part fit? All right, so that's one of the questions asked by the mind.
And just the thought, but maybe the second part fits with the fact that Avram was supposed to shecht Yitzchak.
The second part?
The second story, because the boy dies.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's a very good way of understanding it. That's mentioned in the mind. Yeah, that's a very good way.
Do you remember
wrong? I don't remember.
He's worked it out himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, ya, 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 yo, 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 ya, 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 Ha yere damba, ha yere damba, yo. Ha ha ya yere damba, ha ha ya ya yere dam. Ho ya ya, ho ya ya, yo. Okay, so now we begin with the Maima. The isha achat minishrei b'nei anaviyim, a woman from the wives of the prophets' fellowship, tzaaka el Elisha, cried out to Elisha. Now, umavaya b'mayma shel Rabbeinu Zaken, it's explained in a mayma by the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Shneur Zalman. Kol pratei anyanim shebesipur haftorah, all the details in this story in the haftorah, b'avodat Hashem, how they apply in service of God, kedil kamon, as will be explained below in a minute. Ubahaktin. But the Rebbe puts first, Ma shekatub b'mayma shor Rabbi Hillel miParich. Now Rabbi Hillel of Parich was a great chosid in the time of the Alter Rebbe, and he lived through the time of the Mittler Rebbe, and then the Tzemach Tzedek. And he was a famous person, and he wrote discourses himself. And shekanireh miyusad al mayma admo azokin hanal. And apparently this discourse that he wrote is based on that discourse by Rabbi Shneur Zalman. He wrote Ke'en Hakdama, a kind of introduction. What's the introduction? Dehine Yadua, it's known, Shekol HaSipurim Shebetanach, all the stories in Tanakh, Hagam Shayu Kipshutam, even though they happened literally the way the story is told, like we just learned that story. Ki ein mikra yotze mibnei pshuto, because the text does not lose its literal meaning. Mikol makom, nonetheless, lama bacharu anavim sipurim elu dafka. Why did the particular Nevi'im, one after the other, choose out dafka these stories, l'chotvam betanach, to write them in Tanakh? Al kochech loma, you must say, mipnei sheramzu behem razin v'sodot elyonim, because these stories hint at very profound secrets. V'chama drachim l'avodat Hashem, teaching various pathways in service of God. And ad kan hakdama shel Rabbi Hillel. This is the beginning, this is the introduction by Rabbi Hillel. Umuvan, it's understood, says the Rebbe. Shekashem shahoraot shebahalachot v'dinim shebetorah. The same way that the instruction, the teaching in the halacha, in the laws of the Torah, hein horaot nitzchiyot, are eternal laws, b'chol zman, in every time, u'b'chol makom, in every place, ki l'shon adnu hazaken, as Rabbi Shneur Zalman puts it, ha-Torah nitzchit, Torah is eternal, the teaching of Torah is eternal, v'zeh gam ha-perush, and that's also an explanation b'mashe katub, of what it says, ki heim chayenu, the Torah and the mitzvot, they are our life. Lo rak shebezeh yuchayuto, in them lepte. Not only you get life force from them, you're excited by them. Shalom et Torah mitochayet, that you learn Torah with chayut, with liveliness. Elegam, shahatorah poelet et ofen hachayim. Torah transmits the way to live. Ketzad lichyot, how to live. So we derive life and inspiration from learning Torah, and also Torah guides us how to live. V'hainu, that means, shechayuto shel ish Yisraeli, a Jewish man and woman, his or her life force, b'chol zman, b'chol makom, at any time and in every place, tzarich liot al pi ha-hora'ot ha-Torah, has to be according to the teachings of the Torah. Now, that's regarding the halacha, the laws of the Torah, Shabbat, Kashrut, and so on. So what the Rebbe is saying here, kach gam ha-horaot shebesipurei ha-Torah. Similarly, the instructions which are in the stories of the Torah, hein horaot nitzriot, these are eternal instructions. Ki kol ha-Torah hi Torah acham, because the whole Torah is one. You can't separate one bit of Torah from the other. Ukifsak din Rambam, as the Rambam writes, if someone said about the Torah, it's not from God, not the whole Torah, afilu pasuk echad, afilu teva achad, even if it's one verse, one word, and it makes no difference which word or which verse. Ve'ein hefresh ve'ein ha-pasuk. It makes no difference whether it's Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt, the beginning of the Ten Commandments, or uvein ha-pasuk v'timna haita pelegesh. Timna was the concubine of someone. So it makes no difference which pasuk. Every single pasuk in the Torah is significant. Imama, if the person said, this is quoting what the Rambam said, if the person said, Moshe wrote this, or Moshe said this, mipi atzmo, from himself, afilo im modesh zeh emet v'kadosh, even if he agrees that this is true and it's holy, eile sh'omesh ein bezeh dagat ha-kedusha sh'be'anochi Hashem elokecha. Just, he says, it's not as holy. The line about Timna, who was the concubine, he thinks that's not as holy as the words, I'm the Lord your God. So if someone says that, according to the Rambam, harizek kofer b'chol ha-Torah, he is denying the holiness, he's denying the nature of Torah as a whole. Similarly, if he says something like that about one concept in the Talmud, in the Oral Torah, So in other words, the whole of the Torah, written and oral, it's infinitely significant. I recently learned a lovely word for this. Pan. And I use the word pan. Pan means everything. Mm-hmm. So pan significant, you know, every single word, every single idea is significant. Whatever the story, whatever image. This began with obviously the Chachamim explaining the Torah in the Midrash and in the Talmud. With the idea that every single statement in the Torah is full of meaning. It's pregnant with meaning. The thing is to understand what that meaning is. So there's nothing which is just written. So Val Derech Zeh, and similarly, Im Lomet, so now the Rebbe is extrapolating. You see, or fleshing out the implications in these statements. That similarly, im lo mityachsim lahoraot shebesipurei haTorah, if we don't relate to the teachings in the stories of the Torah, kohoraot nitziot, as eternal teachings. In other words, we think, oh, well, it's a story. It happened then. It doesn't have any relevance for us today. Hine lo zu bilvad shechaserot ha'orot elu. It's not just the person is lacking those teachings that he thinks are only for an earlier time or not in our situation. Ele chaserot gam ha'orot shebilchot ha'torah. He's making a deficiency in the whole Torah, including the halachic part of the Torah. V'ad la'anochi Hashem Elokecha, even as far as I am the Lord your God, the first of the Ten Commandments. In other words, the Torah is completely one. And we have to see it as one, and every little bit of the Torah is significant as a teaching for us today. In a way, this is just recently, there was a conference in Oxford on interpretation. That was the theme. Commentary was the theme. And so people, gave different talks about commentary. And someone pointed out to me a passage in the first writer of Hasidic teachings, who is someone called Rabbi Yaakov Yosef of Polnoya. He was a Hasid of the Baal Shem Tov. Mm-hmm. And he wrote the first book that you can say this is a Hasidic book. It was printed in 1780. And it's called Toldot Yaakov Yosef. It's quite a difficult book to study. It's a kind of a book of pilpul, but all the way through, he's got teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. Suddenly, in the middle of his, pilpulistic discussion, quoting the Rambam and this, he's obviously a brilliant Talmud Chacham. He suddenly says, as I heard from my teacher. And he puts a statement. And those things that I heard from my teacher, Shamati Mimori, they are all from the Baal Shem Tov. So the book is filled with little statements from the Baal Shem Tov, put in there in the middle of these drashot, these long, complicated drashot. So someone pointed out to me that in this book, it presents this idea that every single bit of Torah has to teach us something. And it seems like that is a chiddush of the Hasidic movement, or an emphasis at the beginning of the Hasidic movement, that we are going to explain the significance of everything in Torah. Now, of course, in order to explain the significance of everything, you often have to reinterpret what it is. That you can't just take the story or whatever it is in its literal sense. You have to give it a midrashic, a drash, or a remez, or some other dimension of meaning. And that's what's going to happen in this maima as well. The whole story of the woman and the widow and and her two sons. It's all going to be reinterpreted in a different way, which will hopefully apply to us. So, line 9. Over dugmat sefer Torah, like a Torah scroll, shechaser bo'ot achat, if one letter is missing from the Torah scroll, how does that pogem b'chashrut kol ha-sefer Torah? The problem, the kashrut of the entire sefer Torah is a problem because one letter is missing. D'chevan shechedek mesuyum b'torah eino nitzchi etzlo. So coming back to this person. The person has read the story in the Torah. And he thinks, this is a story that happened thousands of years ago. It doesn't apply to me today. So if he says this, since that story is not eternal for him, Hainu, Shabizman Zeh, in other words, now, Einu Kaimetz Lo, that story is not relevant to him, he thinks. Hadezeh Psul B'chol HaTorah, Kafishi Yetzlo. He's making a Psul. His concept of Torah is flawed. Similarly, with the story that's in our Haftorah, even though the story literally happened in physical terms, because in addition to the idea that the Torah, the verse, does not leave its simple meaning canal, as we said earlier, and it's a famous principle, this story is one of the 16 miracles that Elisha showed. The sages comment on the verse, Pishnaim Baruchacha. Elisha asks Elijah, his teacher, I want twice of your spirit. And the sages say that he got that. Mikan at hadorah shmone moftim be'Eliyahu, Elijah in the book of Kings, there are 8 miracles that Elijah carries out, and 16 le'Elisha, and 16 that his disciple Elisha carries out. So apart from that, hine mizeh shasipur nikba b'Torah, the fact that the story is written in the Torah, in the book of Kings, Muvan, it's understood, sheyesh bo ha'ra'a ba'avodat Hashem. This proves it's got a teaching to us in service of God. Ve'ein lomar she'sipur zeh nikba b'Torah. You couldn't say that this story is there in the Torah, rak kedei lesaper, just in order to tell us, she'nitkaima ha'bakasha de'pishnayim, that Elisha's request that I should get a double measure of prophecy that Elijah had, the Torah could have just said, the Book of Kings could have just said that Eliyahu had 8 miracles and Elisha had 16. Why does it spell it out? Since the Torah tells the story, with many details, it proves that the general story, and all its details, which are there written in the Torah in the Book of Kings, they are eternal teachings in the service of God. All right, is there any comment on that? This applies also, of course, in the Talmud. There are also stories. And it used to be, and perhaps there are still some people, whose interest in Talmud is very intense, but only in the halachic discussions. And when it comes to stories, they say, oh, you know, these are just stories, and they miss them out. A friend of mine told me, he didn't say, he's long passed away, but he said he was at a shir given by a very, very respected Rav, and the last 2 pages of that tractate were stories, Agadatam. So the shir finished at the end of the halachic discussion, and they made a siyum, even though they hadn't actually finished the masechta, because the last two to the story. And so comes the Hasidic perspective. Those stories are very significant. This story here is very significant. So now, in order for us to unravel the story and understand how it applies to us, there's quite a bit of reinterpretation which is taking place. And that's what happens on the next page, page Zion, from a Maimah.
So, some of the stories that you find in the Talmud, I've heard said that they often exaggerate things.
It says in the Talmud, in three places, the Talmud exaggerates.
It tells you itself.
But even if it's saying that it exaggerates, so still the question is, what is the teaching?
Right, but are you still supposed to take it literally as well, or you accept necessarily?
So, sometimes the Talmud does say about anything, this is not to be taken literally. For example, it says, it's something about the land of Israel with cities betzurot v'shamayim, fortified into the heavens. So how high were these cities? Fortified into the heavens. Did it go 5 miles up, 10 miles up? It's a way of speech. But you could still have a whole teaching. Why does it say about them that they were fortified in heaven? Why didn't it just say they were very high? Or why did it? And you could have a whole explanation on that. And similarly, the other way around, it says Mount Sinai was smoking like the smoke of a furnace. Was it only the smoke of a furnace? And maybe it was more. But it's things that we are used to, so it can be. Or describing Hashem, anthropomorphic terms for God.
I think I remember something about Shimshon saying that, like, his shoulders were ridiculous in our terms, in width.
His shoulders were as wide as the gates of Gaza, I think. Is it the gates of Gaza?
And once upon a time they had gates.
What?
Once upon a time there were gates down there.
Yeah, well, Hashem Yishmor, everyone in Israel today.
Yeah.
All right, so the point is that whatever the description, and sometimes the sages will say, the commentary will say, this is just, this is in order to make us understand it or something like that. Sometimes it's to be taken literally, even though it sounds very unlikely.
Yeah.
It's amusing today. You can pick up a phone and phone someone in Australia this minute and talk to them. It'll be very early morning there, I think. Mm. So 100 years ago, if there was such a description, it's an exaggeration, it's imagined, something, some little change, and it's just taken for granted as completely unremarkable. Mm-hmm. It's not a wondrous thing, it's just accepted like, riding a bicycle.
That example you gave of history, isn't it more that the Middle Eastern Arabic sort of culture is, the way you acquire knowledge is just in a completely different way, that what we consider in the Western world as facts, they, for them, it's not really as relevant, the form of the knowledge is more important than the actual reality of it.
Well, that's an extremely interesting thing. What is knowledge? And in Western culture, what is knowledge? Western culture in the last 100, 200 years has been on this strong secularizing process, denies any in a sense, any significance to anything. You know, so everything can be explained away. Everything can be verwassert, in a sense. You know, watered down. There's no good, and there's no evil. And it's a very problematic thing. You know, people. Just let's say in Britain, you know, people used to learn about Queen Elizabeth or kings, and, you know, they felt happy that they were in a country which had this long line of kings and queens, occasional queen. Now, the way children learn about Queen Elizabeth or anyone else, you know, it's so the warts are much, you know, are the most prominent aspect. I remember there was at a conference in Jerusalem in the Hebrew University. It was some bicentenary or something or centenary of Sir Moses Montefiore. So someone had written a book about Sir Moses Montefiore, and so there was like a meeting, you know, about the book and about the book completely, you know, tried. Let's say, to completely debunk Moses Montefiore. He didn't do this, they say he did that, he didn't do it, they say he knew Queen Victoria, no, he met her once, that was, you know just, it was...
What was the point of the book?
Well, that was the point that the book was making. You know, the book was there to debunk this famous figure. You know, I don't know if anything in the book was actually true, but that's... But people write a book, so, you know, they put footnotes, so it's given some kind of academic response. So I know someone else who wrote a book on Montefiore, a very different kind of book. He was a very, very significant figure. You know, we have Holocaust denial today, which increases in respectability, unfortunately. You know, and it's a very good indication of the weakness of scientific method in terms of revealing truth. That's, you know, so there's the things that happen, and there's the epic shadow of those things. And sometimes the epic shadow can be more significant than what actually happened if you didn't understand it in a particular way. It's, you know, so there's the inner power of events.
You know, it's like the personal, on a personal level as opposed to historical, that you can say, he smiled at him, which is completely insignificant, but, you know, because he smiled at him, therefore the person decided not to jump over the bridge, off the bridge or whatever. It's the same sort of thing, yeah. On a one-to-one level.
Absolutely, yeah, that's a very good point, yeah, so you know that because A smiled at B, B didn't jump off the bridge, but if someone is just looking at what happened, oh, nothing happened, he smiled at him, in fact, maybe he didn't smile at him, maybe he just had a twitch. All right, so now let's try and see what this story of the woman and Elisha and the two sons and the dead husband, what does that mean? So that's page Zion, section Bet. V'zeleshon maima hanal b'bichlech. This is what the above-mentioned discourse by Rabbi Shneur Zalman, which is in a manuscript, this is what it says. He begins off in a very striking way. Kashem shetzakim b'yachidut. The same way that people cry out in private audience with the Rebbe. They come into the Rebbe and they cry out, Avrichuko me'elokim chayim. I feel so far from the living God. So imagine, you know, that's an experience that a Rebbe experiences. A chosid comes to him and cries out, I feel so remote from God. So he says, Kain v'yotemi kain, in the same way and even more, kol neshama, every single soul, Ba'alotabalailo, when it ascends on high at night, while the person's asleep, tzoeket b'kol ma, cries out with a bitter voice, al richukam elokim chaim, how distant the soul feels from God. Va'amal pasuk, and it says about this verse, v'isha achat minashay b'nei hanaviyim, one woman of the wives of the children of the prophets. Isha, what does it mean, woman? Hi b'chinat nishama. The woman means the soul. Hanikret Isha Yirat Hashem. In the biblical text, as interpreted by the sages, the woman who fears God is the neshama. So the Isha, the woman, is the soul. Achat, what does it mean, one woman? One, Ashehi Achatim Hashem. She wants to be one with God. Minishei b'nei hanaviim, she is of the wives of the children of the prophets. Shehu ke'inyan hanavua, that's the idea of prophecy. She'inyan hanavua milashon nivsvatayim, the idea of prophecy, the flow that comes from the lips. Shemekablim b'mchinat dvar Hashem, receiving from the word of God. Kein kol neshama, every single soul, not only the soul of a prophet, every single soul. Jewish soul. He kli kibu is a vessel. Lekabel hasagot v'gilui elokut, to receive intimations and revelation of God. So the soul has this power to receive revelations of God. But what happens to the soul? Ta'aka el Elisha, she cries out to Elisha. Now, not rikon, we can take this word Elisha. Elisha. Notrikon means when you take a word and break it up and each letter means something. Like BBC. Right. So Notrikon, Elisha, my God is turning towards me. Milashon Vayisha Hashem El Hevel, the idea of God turning to Abel when he brought an offering and not to Cain. Perusha Eli, that means turning to me. Turn to me. So she's, in other words, the soul is saying to God, please turn to me and listen. Avdecha ishi mate. Now what does it mean? Your servant, my husband, is dead. Perush, that means ishi. Ishi is who esh yud. It's the word esh, which means fire, and the letter yud. Shebchinish esh yud, that the quality of fire and yud Shahaya etzli, which there was within me, says the soul, Bihitla avut, with burning flames, Bihitla avut, an excitement of Ahava, with love, Berish be'esh, with coals, with flames of fire, Lihikaleluhu bital ulehibatel, to be absorbed, to be nullified, Befchinat yud, in the letter yud, of Chochma ilah, of the upper wisdom. So Ishi, Eish Yud, means the fire of this enthusiasm of being absorbed in the letter Yud of the upper wisdom of God, mate etzli, it's dead for me. My feeling of love has died. Rachman l'tzlam. Va'ati yodata, and you know, ki avdecha haya yare et Hashem, that your servant feared God, perush, Yare, what does Yare mean? Fear. But you can turn the letters round. Otiot Ya'er, shine. Shahaya bo koach. The neshama originally had the power, lohosif tosefet o, to add increased radiance, Ba'ashem, in God, and now this has been extinguished. Its power of love and its power to give radiance has been extinguished. And the creditor is coming to take my two children as slaves because I can't pay the money. Perush, that means vanosher. Vanosher, the creditor, milishon ki nashani elekim, the same word can be used for forgetting. God has made me forget, Joseph says. Shezekoy ana nefesh bahamid, it's the animal soul. Shehimashkachat oti melekut, it makes me forget God, this complains the soul. The animal soul makes me forget God. And Bala kachad et shnei yaladai, and this animal soul making me forget God is coming to take my two children. What are the two children? Heim dechilu rechimu. They are fear of God and love of God. V'hu chotzeh shiyeh lo la'avadim. And the animal soul wants these two children, these two powers of fear and love, that they should be his slaves. How can they be his slaves? La'avod zarot. That the love, instead of being a love of God, should be a foreign love. Ta'avat ha'guf, ta'avot ha'guf, desires of the body, whatever it might be. V'le'yirot zarot. And fear, foreign fears. What's the foreign fear? Pen yechzeh lachmo. The person's worried. He won't have enough food to eat. He won't have enough money. He won't have enough this. All immaterial things. So our power for love and our power for awe and fear, which should be directed towards the divine, are captured in materialistic issues. Vayoma aleh Elisha. So Elisha said to her, Ma yesh lach babayit. What have you got in the house? Page 7. Vatomen, she said, Ein nikim asuch shaman. The only thing I've got is a flask of oil. Perush, that means she'ein lakim etzen nekudat haneshama. The only thing she's got is the essential nekuda, the point, the inner point of the neshama. That's what's left. She's just got that spark left. That's not been extinguished. But everything else has gone. All the spiritual power of the soul to express love and to have the poor radiance, it's hidden. It's all dissolved away in desire for this and desire for that and fear of this and fear of that. Nothing spiritual. Vayoma, so Elisha says, go and get kelim reikim. Go and get empty vessels. All right, so let's see what these empty vessels represent. Piddush, this means. Now, he's referring to a passage in the Zohar. Kamaima Rav Matifta Began Eden. As the head of the yeshiva said in the Garden of Eden, and it gives a reference, note 24, to where this is in the Zohar. Ad lo salik beino horam avad shin leim. If you have a log of wood, and the flame does not burn on the log, you beat it with a poker. Yeah, you get a poker, you bang the log of wood, and then it bursts into flames. Not an experience that most people have while we're in our urban dwellings and anti-smoke laws. But if you go camping, have a nice campfire. That's one. Kach gun, now, so that idea, the Zohar quotes, the idea that you have this log of wood and the flame can't be seen, but you poke the log, it's smoldering. You poke it, and so the flame starts bursting out. Kach gufa de lo salik beino horad nishmata, the soul in which the radiance of the soul isn't seen, mavachinle. You give it a prod. V'salik beino hora, and then the flame, the light, is seen. Now, what's the prod? Now, some people interpret the prod, you know, is all kinds of...
No.
That the prod is fasting. The early Kabbalists, before Hasidism, they would fast a lot. They would do all kinds of self-mortifying things in order to fulfill this passage of the Zohar, to bring out the light of the soul. But the Rebbe presents a different, the Alter Rebbe, he's quoting a discourse by the Alter Rebbe, by Rebbe Shenzon, presents a different thing to do. V'zel inyan kelim reikim. That's what is meant by the empty vessels. Shetzarich lehitbonen habe. One has to think a lot. And that, it says in the footnote, and that's what it means, al tamiti, in the story, don't do it by halves, don't bring only a little, you got to do it a lot, bring a lot of empty vessels. Eich shuhu kli reka, Think how you are an empty vessel. Beli shum dad b'moach, without any knowledge in your brain, or beli shum dechilu rechimu, and without fear and without love. Vietnam, what you're complaining about. You're saying that that's how you feel. But take it to heart. Vietmarmer ma'od. Be bitter, upset, al richuko, about how distant you feel from God. Vayitzak el Hashem, cry out to God, al richuko melekim chayim, and your feeling of distance from the living God, mekor chayim, the source of life. Va'achakach, and after that, yavo leyitchon ha'o min ha'choshech, you'll come to the extra radiance that comes from darkness. Ki be'emet lamito, because in fact, the light that comes from darkness is much more powerful. It's a problematic idea, because it means that we have to fall into some kind of darkness in order to get that light. But now that you are, so it doesn't mean deliberately choose darkness, but now that you're complaining that you're in this state of darkness, you don't feel love, you don't feel fear, the love and fear are going on materialist issues and all the other qualities, the other problems that it's described. So now from that, be bitter about it and cry out to God, and you know what? That will bring about an illumination. You and your children will live with that which is over. At, you in the feminine, who etzem hanashama, that's the essence of the soul. Uvanayich, and your children, as said before, heim dechilu rechimu shebechol neshama. That's the fear and the love in every soul. Tichyi banota, you will live from the extra, biyitchon ha'or min ha'choshech, with the extra radiance which comes from darkness. Kein yizakenu Hashem, may Hashem help us merit this. Kein yiratzon, amen. May it be God's will, amen. Ve'ad kan l'shono. That's what Rabbi Shneur Zalman says in this discourse. So in other words, the plight of the woman coming to Elisha with her two sons and her husband being dead, that is the plight of everyone's soul. And everyone's soul each night grieves before Hashem at its inability to feel intense and positive emotions in relation to God, emotion of love and emotion of awe. And instead, its love and awe are going on materialist things, puny in comparison, and or altogether inappropriate, perhaps. And so the path that the person can feel, the guidance that's being given, is to care about this, to care about this situation, to want to feel a love of the divine. And in order to do that, one needs to cry out within oneself, crying out to Hashem, and somehow that will break through and that will transform the whole situation. And the light that will come from this darkness will be a tremendous positive light, and that will suffuse the person in a positive way, and that's the direction that we have to follow. Now, last year, when we learnt this discourse here, there was a young man here, and I asked him, who happened to be my grandson, I asked him, are these relevant? Is this idea relevant to someone living today? And he said, yes, it's highly relevant. It's a very important question. Where are our feelings? Do we feel, when we pray, do we feel a meaningful emotion? Are we just saying the words, or do we feel something? So this is a plea that we should want to feel something positive in our relationship with Hashem. And if we don't, we should complain and we should cry out to Hashem, and in that way we will change the whole situation. It's an interesting thing. I mean, this crying out in today's world, a quite common kind of crying out is Braslav Hisbododu. a person crying out to Hashem, that wanting a closeness to Hashem, but there's it's a matter of recognizing the cry in oneself. It doesn't have to be a cry that other people hear, but it's taking something seriously. I mean, the effect of the cry should be a determination. You know, I'm going to learn something before davening so that my davening should be a little bit more meaningful. You know, that's a way of putting the cry into a positive mode. Now, Oskimu, V'yeshla ha'sef, from one can add, shal piyam avur b'mayma, now, according to what it says in that discourse, one can explain the connection between the beginning of the Haftorah, this whole story of Isha Achad, of the woman and the oil. We can explain how it relates to the beginning of the Seder of the week, that God appeared to Abraham. It's a matter of divine revelation. See, God appeared to Abraham. The beginning of the Haftarah is about divine, as we interpreted it, is a plea for divine revelation. That's what the beginning of the Seder is. Ubahaktim. Now consider first, Shebapashtut HaNyanim, thinking about this in simple terms, Hashaychut Shel Haftarah Zu LeParshat HaShavuahi, the connection of the Haftarah, of this chapter in the Book of Kings, to the Parsha Vayera, is Biglal Shebahaftorah Mesupah Odat Ben Hashanamit. Further on in the Haftorah, the bit that we didn't read, it tells us about the son of the Shunammite woman, Shelisha Eftirch La'at Choveket Ben. Elisha promised this woman that she would have a child. V'gam La'ach Le'chein, and afterwards he achieved Pa'al Shiyakim La'ben, that the son, when he got ill, he saved his life. And that's like the story about Yitzchak in our Sedra. First of all, Shahamalach Biser, the angel gave the news, Vine ben Sarah Ishtecha, Sarah's going to have a baby boy. Also concerning the keeping the son in existence. Now we have two ways of understanding it. The second one is the one that you said, David, about Abraham being about to slaughter him and the angel stopped him. But there's another one first, that there's another midrash, k'di'ita b'midrash, we learn in a midrash ala pasuk, v'yas avra mishte gadol. The verse tells us Abraham made a great banquet. And what happened? Og v'chol agdolim imo hayusham. Og and various other great people were there. V'haya Og lo egal Yitzchak, and Og was making fun of Yitzchak. V'omer, he said, sheyachol levat lo be'etzbo'o, he could just squash him with his finger. V'haynu she'ein ze davar kayam, this son is not going to go on living long. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said to Og, ma ata mavazeh, what are you making fun? V'adarabah, you know what's going to happen in the end? Ein sofo shel oto ish Og, the end of this man, Og, is he's going to fall, lipol, into whose hands? Ele biyado, it's into the hand of Yitzchak. So in other words, in the end, Og is going to be, so who will that be? The hand of Moshe. There's a midrash that Moshe killed Og. So Og is going to fall, the giant Og. So Og is going to fall into a hand of the descendant of this little baby. Now in brackets, it gives your explanation. Oh, shelo haya davar kayam. Or you could say that Yitzchak would not live very long, mitzad amira, because of what God said, v'hale shom la'ola. Make him a sacrifice. V'achakach nasa kiyum. But then he does live. Al tas lo ma'uma, the angel tells Abraham, don't do anything to him. So in other words, that is the way of understanding the connection of the Sedra with the Haftorah. Aval al pizeh, but if that's the case, hadirak Sipur Oda Ben Ashunamit Shaykh LePasha. Only the story of the Shunammite woman and her son relates to the Pasha's Vayera. V'imkein haita haftorah tzricha latchil b'sipur zeh. The haftorah could have begun a few lines later, just with the story of the Shunammite woman. U'befrat sheyesh bo kafala psukim yoter. There's the idea of how many verses the Haftorah should have, and even if we leave off the beginning story, it's still got 21 verses, which is like the minimum for the Haftorah. V'lo hakdama v'isha achat min shei b'nei hanavim, leaving out the beginning part of the woman, the wife of the man of the prophet fellowship. But when we consider what was said in Rabbi Shneur Zalman's discourse, you can see also the connection of the story of the woman and the oil with the beginning of the Sedra in a Pasha. So, and what is it? The Inyan is, the fact it says at the beginning of the Sedra, Vayera alav Hashem, God was revealed to him. Av sheze ba behemshech l'sof pashat lech lecha. Even though this comes afterwards, after what it says at the end of last week's pasha, shekemun shenimol Avraham, since Abram had bris mila, lechein vayeda alav, therefore God is revealed to him, levakeh et achole, to visit the sick, as Rashi says. Harezu pasha chadasha, even so, this is a new concept. This is a new Pasha, a new Sedra, showing that it's a new thing. At the end of the last week's Sedra, it says, Abraham and Ishmael and all the men of the household were circumcised. They all had circumcision together. But here, the beginning of our Pasha, Nema Vayera Elav Hashem, it says God was revealed to Avraham Dafka, to him, to Abraham alone. Shuin Yan Livinifflinu Anima Vamcha. That's the difference between Abraham and Yishmael and the other people, that the Jewish people have some different thing going for them. Vihine Hagilui de Vayera, the revelation of Vayera, who Gilui Nali Biyota, is a very exalted revelation. Now, Rashi says, why did God reveal himself to Abraham? To visit the sick. Now, that's another term which has got enormous meaning. Chole begematria. Chole means sick. Chole begematria memtet. You work out the word chole, it adds up to 49. Kevan shaya etzlo etzel Avraham. Since Abraham only reached rak memtet shari bina, only the 49 gates of wisdom. Shezer mash niten la nivraim. That's as much as a created person can achieve by themselves. Sheyuchlu lamshich b'choch atzmam, that they can achieve with their own effort. K'may merabba zenusal, as the sages said, chamishim shari bina nivru ba'olam. There are 50 gates of wisdom created in the world. B'cholam nitnu la Moshe chasai echad. All except one were given to Moses. V'ilu shar chamishim. But the 50th gate, einu b'shayichut l'nivra, cannot relate to a created being. Ela labore, it comes from the creator. B'chinat echad, that one. We can't achieve that with our own effort. It comes from above. Now this is what it means that God appeared to him. To visit the one who's only on the level of 49 gates of wisdom in order to give him the 50th. Shehagilui melemaila, and that revelation from above, ripa et acholi shel Avraham, that healed the illness of Abraham. V'hainu, that means, last page, shenitbatel ha'inyan shehaya chole. Now, he's no longer ill with the gematria 49. He no longer only has 49 gates of wisdom. Kevan shegibel gam shehar chamishim, since he also received the 50th gate. And now comes one of the most striking sentences in Hasidic teaching. V'hine, and behold, gam inyan ze horish Avraham levanav acharav. This idea, this concept also was given in inheritance by Abraham to his children after him, l'chol echad miYisrael, to every single Jew, each one of us sitting at the table, sheyesh lo birusha, that he or she has an inheritance, lo rak ma she'Avraham Avinu hisig, not only what Abraham achieved, al yedei hayigiyah ba'avodato, with his own effort through his own service, but also the extra revelation, the 50th gate, the Vayera, that revelation, shenimshach milamayla, that comes from above, and that is because the one inheriting, he inherits everything. A billionaire passes away, and his 3-day-old child inherits all the billions. He doesn't know anything about it, but he still inherited it. We are the inheritors of Abraham. Abraham is bequeathing to us not only the 49 gates of understanding that he worked for, but also the 50th gate that was revealed to him by Hashem. And Hashem reveals that to us as well. It's a very, very striking statement about our spiritual potential within us. Omnam, however, kol zeh mitzad neshama, all this is from the point of view of the soul. Avla guf, but the body, hari hu ma'ilim u'mastir, the gufa, the body hides and conceals this radiance. Achal zeh nema b'haftorah, and that's why it says in the haftorah, v'isha achat neshei b'nei ha'nivim tzaka al Elisha. The woman cries out to Elisha. Shafilu kasher neshama nimtzei beguf ha'malim. Even when the soul is in the body which conceals. V'ahelem u'ad kedei kach. And the concealment is so great. She'avdecha yishimet. That her husband, my fire, the fire, yud, dies. That the fire of love of Hashem, which makes a person be absorbed in the letter yud of the upper wisdom, that's dead. Hine gamaz, even then, harehi isha achat. She is still one, the isha achat, the one woman. The woman, the neshama, which is one, she achat mu'uchedet, unified im Hashem, with God. Shelechein nogea v'ichpat la'ahelem. And because she's unified with God, she cares about the concealment. U'chilishon ha'mayma, and that's why ba'layla tzo'eket b'kol ma. At night, she cries out with a bitter voice. V'haynu shezeh omna maymud u'matzav sholayla. That means, although this is a situation of night, of helem behester, of concealment and hiding, aval afal pichein, nonetheless, she cries out. The soul cries out. Utsa'akazu po'elet. And this crying out has the effect. Asher at uvenayich tichyi benotah. You and your children will live with the not with what is left, with what is the extra. Shal yedei zenase yitchon. That through our crying out to Hashem, we achieve something extra. The extra that comes out of darkness. The extra light. Like the saying that when the sitra achra, the negative force, is quelled, the glory of Hashem rises up through all the world. Because the way in to get the extra radiance is from the darkness itself. Kein yizakeinu Hashem, may Hashem help us to achieve this. Kein yiratzon, may it be the will of Hashem. Amen.
Come back a bit to me from last time.